Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED. From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, a first-of-its-kind bill sitting on Governor Newsom's desk could change the way Amazon treats its warehouse workers. AB 701 would require all California warehouse operators to report their productivity quotas, but it's specifically aimed at Amazon, which has faced criticism for demanding workers perform high-speed repetitive tasks that can lead to missed breaks and injuries. The bill would have a major impact on the state, with 60 Amazon warehouses and 40,000 workers just in the Inland Empire alone. But many see it as a first step toward reining in the retail giant nationally. We learn more after this news. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Amazon is on a hiring spree this week for corporate and technology jobs and for its distribution centers, where it's looking to hire 125,000 more workers for warehouse and delivery operations. California is home to 60 Amazon warehouses, and a bill now sitting on Governor Gavin Newsom's desk could ultimately change the way the tech and retail behemoth treats its warehouse workers, particularly how it tracks employees and handles production quotas, how many items are scanned, packed, and shipped to meet our demand for convenient home delivery. But these quotas can cause grueling conditions in warehouses. Joining me now is Sebastian Herrera, tech reporter with a focus on Amazon for the Wall Street Journal. Sebastian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this bill sitting on Governor Newsom's desk. What would it do?
So the bill would bar companies from enforcing productivity quotas and penalties that affect employees' health and safety, which would include the ability to take breaks or use the bathroom. And it would also require companies to disclose their quotas and workplace requirements to employees and state agencies. So essentially what the bill is targeting is company transparency about their worker quotas and how technology and algorithms are used in warehouse work settings.
And why are people saying that this is really the first step in reining in Amazon, particularly its labor practices? Why are people seeing it as so potentially far-reaching for the company?
Yeah, there is a lot of history there. Amazon's quotas have long been criticized by some employees and labor activists. You know, obviously, we get packages in the mail quickly from Amazon, and that's probably because Amazon's strict system with their worker productivity and quotas. Many workers complain that the quotas they're expected to make bar them from taking an adequate amount of breaks. There's been plenty of stories of workers getting fired after just taking a few trips to the bathroom, because the work environment inside a lot of these warehouses consists of a lot of repetitive motions, and having to meet these quotas can become extremely stressful for employees, and it can become dangerous in some ways. Amazon has been shown to have higher injury rates than the national average, which is really largely what led to this bill, is the injury rates that the company has been shown to have. And part of the issue is that we don't know what Amazon's quotas really are. We're left to guess through talking with employees and hearing stories about what they're expected to do, because Amazon has never fully been transparent about what that looks like. They say that it's based on experience and that they're measured over time and that they take the safety and well-being of the employee into account. And they say that terminations for performance represent less than 1% of their firings, but they've never been fully transparent about what their quotas look like. And so that's what this bill really, really targets. There's a lot of workers that say that can be essentially fired by an algorithm because these quotas and worker productivity are essentially measured by algorithms and not really humans. And obviously, like, a lot of public attention in Amazon's quotas and the worker experiences gained a lot of traction this past year because of the pandemic. A lot more people were paying attention to essential work that was taking place in these Amazon warehouses and warehouses in general that were getting us these critical packages during the past year. Amazon's obviously been very successful in the past year during the pandemic, its business has seen a lot of success because a lot of people have obviously ordered packages online. And so, you know, workers during the past year have said that they've had to work through this health crisis while maintaining these quotas, and that's been very difficult for them and dangerous, they say. So plenty of reasons why you're seeing this pop up now.
Has Governor Newsom said he'd sign it, sign the bill?
So he hasn't indicated yet whether he'd sign it or not. Obviously, he's just coming off of a recall election this week, which is obviously taking a lot of his time, and he's going to get back to governing now. But it was voted by a Democratic-controlled legislature, and he is a Democratic governor, so it may be surprising if he doesn't sign it, but we'll probably see here soon.
There are folks who have opposed this bill, business groups in California. Can you talk about who they are and what their main argument is?
Yeah, it has been opposed by some business groups, including the California Chamber of Commerce and the California Retailers Association. Amazon is a member of both groups. They haven't publicly taken a side, but they are a member of these groups. And for example, the California Retailers Association said the bill could threaten an already fragile supply chain, and that's been strained by the COVID-19 pandemic. They say that costs could go up for companies because they might have to add more workers if they're forced to lower their quotas. And some businesses have also just pointed out that it's not really fair that a bill that's essentially targeting one company, Amazon, like everyone else is going to see the fallout. So those have been some of the criticisms we've seen from the corporate business side.
Well, Amazon is on a hiring spree this week, as I mentioned. Do you think that it's connected at all to this bill and sort of seeing the writing on the wall? Or do you think it's just simply connected to the incredible growth that you described it's had over the course of the pandemic?
They say it is connected to the growth. Of course, if this bill becomes law and down the line, Amazon is forced to lower quotas, because they're found to impede the health and safety of their employees, they could be forced to add even more employees, which would be a huge challenge for them, because it's already a big challenge for them adding the employees that they've had to add and the announcements that they've made, because we are in a really tight labor market right now. So they are pressed with these challenges of finding employees already. They've done a number of things, including raise their wages to try to attract employees, but it's definitely a challenging time for the company to find workers, as it is for many companies in their space.
Yes. We're talking with Sebastian Herrera, tech reporter with a focus on Amazon for the Wall Street Journal. And I'd like to bring Shahryar Koski into the conversation, executive director of the Warehouse Workers Resource Center, which is a nonprofit focused on improving working conditions in the warehouse industry in Southern California. Shahryar Koski, welcome to Forum.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I imagine the fact that the bill has made it through the legislature was welcome news to you. First, can you describe for us the kinds of experiences that you have heard from workers who do work in these distribution centers in California? What are some of their experiences?
So we've been working with warehouse workers in the Inland Empire and LA County for the last 10 years or so. And what we've seen is that there's always been production quotas and standards on workers, and that those standards are increasing. And what that leads to is both injury rates that are going up, but also high turnover. So workers work under these quotas, have to be able to keep up with a certain standard in order to, keep their jobs. A large percentage of workers in warehouses are either employed through staffing agencies or, if employed directly, still on a very contingent basis, where their productivity on any given day really determines how much work they're going to get the next day or the next week. So they're always gunning to try to keep up, try to go as quickly as they can in order to either, maintain their employment, go from temp to direct employment, or potentially go, get a promotion. So what we see is workers working really fast. You hear these stories about workers running to distribution centers, clocking 20 miles a day and moving really quickly, which leads to both, injury rates that are higher, but also if you get injured, you're not able to keep up, right? If you have like a little nagging injury, Often we heard from workers that that starts kind of minor, and then you slow down a little bit, and then you're kind of doing other things to compensate, and that leads to you being even more behind. And then eventually, you know, at some point, you're terminated because you're not able to keep up. So these rates, again, are things that have been around for a while, but especially under companies like Amazon, we're seeing that these are getting supercharged because of the surveillance that Amazon has in every facility on every worker, because of their ability to track your rate in real time through their technology. Workers are always kind of aware of that they're being surveilled, that they're being tracked, and always moving, you know, very quickly to be able to keep up with that.
Could you explain how, if this bill is signed and becomes law, it would make a meaningful difference on the floor in these workers' lives? Specifically, do they not get information about the rate that they're working at, basically the pace of the work that they're doing?
In some cases, I mean, every warehouse is different. Even, you know, within certain companies, there's different experiences that people have. But we definitely hear from a significant number of workers who either don't, you know, initially are told a rate and then it changes, or they're working side by side with the coworker and my rate is different from your rate and it's not really clear why. So there's a lot of questions. And, you know, you go to the manager in a company like Amazon, they say, I don't even know the algorithm said it, right? So there's a real question about kind of just basic information provision to workers about, yeah, what their rate is, but also what are the implications if I, you know, if I'm not able to keep up, what are the impacts of me, you know, slowing down? So I think that kind of information is part of the bill. Other parts of the bill include information about retaliation. If you speak up and ask these questions, workers usually are afraid to ask questions about their working conditions because, like I said, most of these workers are in very contingent workplaces. They're not really sure how long their employer intends to keep them. And so you keep your mouth shut. So we made sure that there were some retaliation provisions for workers who do ask these questions, saying if you're asking these questions, if you have concerns that these quotas are gonna push you to try to either work through your breaks or, you know, potentially get injured, that you have protection to ask questions about that and challenge those issues. And so it creates a space where workers can ask those questions. They also have ability to, you know, appeal to the state labor commissioner and Cal OSHA about those issues and have them investigate again in certain circumstances where they feel like the quota is setting them up to do things that are illegal or potentially would injure them. So again, it's a step in the right direction. It's not going to, you know, change every single workplace in the state immediately or overnight. What it does is give workers you know, some new information, some new paths to, you know, ask these kinds of questions and have these conversations with their employer in a respectful manner. And also gives the state a little bit of a heads up, like, hey, this is happening. Amazon is now the biggest private employer in the state. These are the conditions that are, you know, occurring across our state in a lot of different warehouse operations. And it's something that, you know, enforcement agencies should be taking into consideration.
Well, let me give our listeners a chance to ask questions. If you have questions about this bill, the California Warehouse Distribution Center bill, you can always ask them at 866-733-6786. More Forum after the break. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking about a California bill on Newsom's desk that would require Amazon and other warehouse operators in the state to disclose more information about their productivity quotas, what they ask of their workers. We're talking with Sebastian Herrera, a tech reporter with a focus on Amazon for the Wall Street Journal. Also, Shahriyar Khazji, executive director for the Warehouse Workers Resource Center. And you, our listeners, are with us, sharing your thoughts and questions. You can also tell us if you have an experience to share of working in a retail distribution center or even working in an Amazon warehouse. What were the conditions like for you? 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum. Email us forum@kqed.org. And Angela writes, the real problem is that big tech is permitted to withhold data from the state and the rest of us. Regulation is only possible if we gave data about what is happening at these companies. And I should note, we invited Amazon to join the program, but they did not respond to our request. But Sebastian Herrera, Let me ask you, how you said the company has not taken a position on it. They haven't been public about it, but it sounds like they are conscious of it because they have definitely started to make some changes, started to advertise ways that they say they're treating workers better. Can you describe a little bit about what you see as behind that?
There's been a really public shift in the past year as they've seen more pressure from labor activists, unions. Like what we've seen is really publicly they've had this message that focuses on safety. They earlier this year said they started a safety education program for their employees, and that they donated millions to the National Safety Council and are really taking a hard look at their systems. And they've had this whole sort of line of becoming quote unquote Earth's best employer, and they repeat this a lot, which essentially is like this big goal that was set out by their founder and former CEO Jeff Bezos. Who said that, who basically said publicly that the company recognized that it needs to look at the relationships it has with its employees at these warehouses and what more it can be doing for them. And I think what we've seen so far is like they're still really in the middle of figuring this out and tackling this issue. As I said, like Jeff Bezos has acknowledged this publicly and said that the company is going to spend and invest hundreds of millions of dollars on worker safety. I think Amazon knows that it has this problem on its hands and that it has to address worker satisfaction and retention, which is, again, a really big issue too, because it's only going to get harder for them to find employees, not only because they're growing, but because we're in a labor market that's been really tight and been more challenging to find employees. I think at the same time, it's fair to ask, how much can Amazon really change its systems when they're largely based on getting our packages quickly delivered to customers? How much can you systematically really change that? They've obviously put a lot of automation into their facilities, and I think they've tried to do as much as possible. But in the short and near term, they're still going to have to rely on a lot of humans to get packages out. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this sort of plays out. But I think what we've continued to see as well is that the pressure is not going to let down on Amazon. They faced a union election in Alabama earlier this year that was obviously widely covered, and they ended up winning that election, although it's being contested right now, and we could actually see a rerun of that election. But labor groups, huge unions like the Teamsters have really started to devote resources to specifically to challenging Amazon with these sort of issues, especially as the company is growing and become more powerful.
Sebastian Ehr, a tech reporter with a focus on Amazon Inc. for the Wall Street Journal. Really appreciate having you on today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I want to bring two more people into the conversation. Ellen Rees is a sociology professor and chair of labor studies at the University of California, Riverside. Rees co-edited the book, The Cost of Free Shipping, Amazon in the Global Economy. Professor Rees, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Also with us is Alina Selyuk, business correspondent for NPR. Hi, Alina. Thanks so much for being here as well.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on. Well, Professor Rees, I'll start with you. One of the things that I'm struck by is I hear about the kinds of conditions that have existed in some of these warehouses, especially Amazon distribution centers, from both Shahryar and Sebastian, and also this move towards automation that Sebastian was highlighting here, that can create situations that are ripe for exploitation potentially. But California is such a strong sort of state with regard, relatively, right, with regard to worker protections. Why isn't existing law enough to cover situations at these warehouses, which, there's like 200,000 or so workers in warehouses across the state?
That's a very good question. I think part of the problem is that many employees feel scared to speak up. Sometimes they don't even report injuries that they've had because they fear employer retaliation. And I think that's one of the important things that this bill would do is to provide greater protections for workers to speak up about their concerns and to be given basic information about the work rates that they're expected to perform by. I have been collecting a lot of interviews with former and current Amazon warehouse workers over the past few years. I worked with a wonderful team of student research assistants, and altogether we collected about 82 interviews with Amazon warehouse workers, both current and former. And many of these workers talk about, just the tremendous stress that they're under, with these very, very high work rates, which sometimes increase, sometimes seem to vary day to day. And they're very, very stressed out. And they feel like if they can't meet those rates, they can get terminated. And that's a real fear, right? Many workers do get terminated because they can't keep up with a very fast pace of work. And that fast pace of work, has a real cost for workers' health. It makes them at high risk of injury. And many of the workers that we talked to, themselves had been injured on the job, or they knew somebody that had, or they observed it firsthand, right, with a coworker getting injured, right? So, they experienced, things like back injuries, sometimes permanent back injuries. Another worker that our team spoke to was a brand new worker, right, who was given just a few days training, put out to work, didn't really feel like she knew exactly what she was supposed to be doing, and got injured by her cart, but she felt too embarrassed to let the company know, and she was very, very badly bruised. And, I think that's just one example of how employees sometimes feel scared to even report their injuries. So those official injury rates, that OSHA keeps, I think we should keep in mind, they tend to underestimate the problem of workplace injuries.
Well, I think Barbara has a comment about OSHA. Barbara in San Francisco, join us.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call, and welcome to your new host. I think it's very important at this point that we substantially beef up the staffing at OSHA. I understand that its staffing and ability to provide services has been decimated for whatever reason. So they have to come to meet the need. That needs to be financed and staffed properly to handle this. Because people, even if they're brave enough to bring up a concern against which they could get retaliated, there has to be the staff at OSHA to handle their concern and move on it and investigate. Please, they need to have enough people to follow through on this if the bill passes. All righty?
Thanks, Barbara. Alina Selig, I want to get your reaction to that, because some of the business groups who oppose this bill basically say that's where you should be focusing your attention, on OSHA and making sure that they have the capacity to enforce existing strong laws.
Yes, that is one of the things that the California Retailers Association really highlighted when I talked to them. They said, Sebastian kind of highlighted their main points having to do with the fact that, the bill targets Amazon, but would affect a lot of other companies. And the critics have said that it would raise costs and specifically create new costs of what they expect would be rampant litigation, sort of a wave of litigation that this bill would unleash. But then another argument that they'd made was that OSHA, Cal OSHA, should be beefed up and better funded to enforce the laws that already exist and that do sort of provide various paths for raising concerns about workplace safety at places that, have problems with it. But of course, the author of the bill and worker advocacy groups would say that more focused, more targeted warehousing bills would sort of perpetuate or would continue that conversation to be a little more focused and zoomed in on this particular industry.
Right. So Shahryar Khosji, are you confident that, say, OSHA gets these data about the productivity quotas and so on, that they're able to really monitor it and do something about it?
I think so. I mean, I think there's so many different workplaces in the state and so many workers. It's never going to be feasible that OSHA can, you know, investigate and investigate every single facility. We think and agree that OSHA needs a huge amount more resources and support. And every time we've raised that, you know, industry backers freak out and really oppose it. So we really think that it's a dynamic where we need additional resources for OSHA, additional tools for OSHA and the California Labor Commissioner, which this bill would create. But also, again, right for workers to be able to speak up directly, because again, there's never going to be enough inspectors to hit every single facility in any given year. And so we need people to be able to feel comfortable speaking up in their workplace, no matter what the situation is, to speak directly to their employer and, you know, depend on and, you know, get support from the state, but also feel comfortable speaking up, connected with their coworkers, as is protected by the law, to say, hey, we want to, you know what's going on. We want to understand what our conditions are without facing retaliation. So we need all of those things. And we think this bill, you know, covers a lot of that.
We're talking with Shahriyar Khalji, Executive Director for the Warehouse Workers Resource Center, a nonprofit focused on improving working conditions in the warehouse industry in Southern California. Alina Selyuk is with us, a business correspondent for NPR, and Ellen Rees, Sociology Professor and Chair of Labor Studies at the University of California, Riverside. You, our listeners, are also with us. What are your thoughts about a bill sitting on Newsom's desk that would require Amazon and other warehouse operators to disclose more data about the productivity quotas, about their employees and what they ask of their employees with regard to production? Do you have an experience to share about working at an Amazon warehouse or a distribution center in the state? Call us at 866-733-6786. Email us forum@kqed.org or get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum. Ellen Rees, speaking of working at a warehouse in the state of California, you're at UC Riverside. Shahriyar is in Ontario, I believe. Can you just talk a little bit about how far and how deeply Amazon's reach exists in the Inland Empire? I don't know that everybody is familiar with that across the state.
In the Inland Empire, the warehouse and logistics industry is like one of the top five employers, and Amazon is the largest private sector employer in the region. So it has an enormous economic impact. And I think, you know, but this is an issue not just for our region, but also for our state. I mean, the warehouse industry has grown tremendously, as has Amazon, especially during the pandemic. You know, and so statewide, you know, warehouse workers make up about 100,000 workers in our state, you know, and nationwide, you know, we have over 1 million employees working for Amazon, right? And, you know, so I think this is a real opportunity for our state and our governor to show leadership around issues of worker safety, to set an example for other states to follow.
One of the concerns I've heard, Ellen Rees, is that putting requirements on Amazon that could ultimately make them have to hire more workers or increase their costs or just make it harder to do business here could cause Amazon to reduce its footprint here, to leave the state to some extent. But you don't think that's likely. Why not? Why is California positioned in a way where Amazon would really like to be here?
Well, first of all, we've got a huge and growing consumer market, right? Our population's growing and more consumers, right, are here in our state. I also think, you know, we need to differentiate like short-run costs and long-term costs, right? And I think it's really honestly in the long-term interest of Amazon and other warehouse employers to treat their workers right, to allow them to have just basic health and safety on the job, right? It would reduce their litigation costs if they did that. It would also reduce their turnover costs, right? The costs of trying to recruit more and more workers, to replace workers that are quitting because they hate it, right? Or who got injured on the job, right? And there's costs of onboarding all these new employees all the time. So, you know, to make decent working conditions that are safe, you know, would really help to attract and retain more employees. And I think that's in the long-term interest, both of the warehouse industry, but also of our state, right? I think we need to remember that when workers get injured, right, it doesn't just impact that one worker, right? That worker, in fact, is often supporting a family. And research has shown about 59% of frontline warehouse workers have a child to support, right? So if we have an industry where the injury rates are so high, and this is a very dangerous industry generally compared to other industries, and then Amazon's injury rate, right, which underestimates the problem, as already shown, it's like twice as high as the industry average, which is very high, right? So this is a very dangerous industry, and it has impacts not just on the individual workers, but their families and our communities, right? It may increase issues of unemployment in our communities, of poverty, of disability. So I think we really need to do something to protect our workers in the state and set an example for other states to follow.
Well, that's the big question, Alina Saliuk. How much are other businesses eyeing what California is doing, especially ones that have, like, say, the Walmarts of the world, or that are looking to see whether California's law could become a national law, could, or California's bill could ultimately influence national standards?
Absolutely, they're watching it. And to be clear, it would also affect them. Walmart also has warehousing facilities, and many other retailers do, which is why this bill is kind of being watched so much by the business groups locally, but also nationally. California historically has paved the way for labor laws to perpetuate through the country. Other states often look at California, and it's often on the forefront, sort of opening the door to what's possible for safety regulators, for instance. In this particular case, one of the safety experts I spoke with said that even the federal OSHA could be looking to see how this bill progresses and how it affects California warehouses to see sort of to get both political but also economic data and understanding of how it could, you know, change its approach on the national level. Those are definitely questions that are being watched by all the retailers, large and small.
We're talking with Alina Saliuk of NPR, Ellen Reese of the University of California, Riverside. Shahar Yarkowski is with us, Executive Director of the Warehouse Workers Resource Center. And we'll have more with you, our listeners, after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mina Kim.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking about a California bill that could rein in production quotas at warehouses that critics say have been excessive and have forced workers to forego things like their state-mandated breaks and so on. And in particular, the bill is aimed at Amazon. It's AB 701, and you, our listeners, are invited to share your thoughts on it and what you've heard during the show about it. It's sitting on Governor Newsom's desk now. You can also share if you work in a retail distribution center or have worked or work in an Amazon warehouse and whether the things that you're hearing square with you. And let me go to Robert in Berkeley on that. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
I
did a 5-hour shift this morning in the largest sorting facility in the Bay Area, and I'm not seeing the abuses that that you're describing. I admit that the environment in a sort center is different from the environment in a picking center, and it's different from the environment in a delivery center. And a lot of the delivery drivers, by the way, are from an outside contractor. So I don't know how much of their experience is attributable to Amazon so much as their subcontractor. But we go through a safety training in orientation They tell us how to properly move a cart, how to properly move a pallet jack without running over your feet, but people still manage to do it. And a lot of the injuries that I see are related to people who do not follow the stated safety rules. We have step stools if you have to get up high. And I still see people stepping on top of a pallet jack in order to get up, and then they don't understand why the pallet jack rolled out from under them.
Well, Rob, thanks for sharing your experience. I'd be curious to get Shahryar Khosji's response to what you have had as your experience at a sorting center.
Yeah, I'm glad you've had safe experiences. And I think I basically agree with you that there are different experiences at different facilities, depending not just on the company, but also on the part of the distribution system that you're in. I think what we're concerned about is certain instances where workers are, you know, incentivized and pushed to actually cut those corners, like you said, to not necessarily follow all those procedures, whether they're trained to or not, because of the rate. So in circumstances like your own, you might not have that rate pressure, which is great and appreciated. In other sites, it is, and it's not the worker's fault that they're necessarily cutting those corners if they have to do it in order to make rate. So we hear a lot about that sort of thing where they don't use the step stool because it's quicker to, instead of making that step, to just reach and stretch. And reaching and stretching are key, you know, factors in back injuries. Or workers that literally are running, right? Because they're given a certain period of time to get that piece that they're picking in a fulfillment center. So not claiming that every single warehouse worker is in a situation where this is happening, but I think the injury rates, the turnover rates indicate that this is happening too much. And so in cases like your own, you know, if you're feeling safe, then this shouldn't affect the situation in any real way. But for those who are affected, it would give them some new protections.
Well, let me go to Robert in San Francisco. Another Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hey, and the opposite view in a way of what Robert is expressing. Although my experience in the actual warehouse is kind of limited. I'm in the outer orbit of Amazon with Amazon Flex. So I, you know, am in the warehouse to pick up packages and then deliver them. But I feel very lucky that I haven't been injured. And I do see safety measures in the warehouse. But when I'm out on the road delivering, the rate at which I'm supposed to deliver to make any sort of cash is, I mean, you are hoofing it out there going through, you know, parking as best you can and going in and out of gates. And really, after you consider gas and the wear and tear on your vehicle, you're down around $10, $11 an hour. And it's just substandard, and it's embarrassing that there's not government regulation in getting, you know, higher pay for deliveries. But for sure, there's all sorts of ways I can be injured if I were to increase my pace. And I've just been, I honestly count myself lucky that I haven't been injured. There needs to be government intervention in a really big way that this Amazon has gotten away with, like, just gotten away with everything. And they're opening 100 more warehouses across the country. It's only going to get worse. So that's,
well, Robert,
that's what I have to say.
Thank you. You're making me think of so many things. We could do a whole show on the experience of delivery drivers with this increase in home delivered goods and the demand for it among Americans, for sure. But I think what you're also making me think about is just how broad Amazon's tentacles are. We've done shows on this before and realized just the impact that they have on the state, the nation, and the global economy as well. One of the things that it makes me think about, Ellen Reese, is also one of the things that's been pointed out about this bill is that it actually has implications for broader, even broader than warehouses, in terms of using algorithms, using technology to monitor workers across the whole spectrum of activities that a company does. Do you see it having that kind of a reach potentially?
Well, I personally would hope so. I would hope that, you know, if we can pass this legislation in California around warehouse workers, you know, it will set a precedent, you know, not simply for other states, but also for other industries and employers as well. It'll, you know, get their attention, you know, that workplace safety is really important.
Well, let me go to caller Walter in San Leandro now. Hi, Walter.
Hi, good talking to you. My question is, where are the labor unions? Where is the ILWU, the retail clerks for Whole Foods, obviously the Teamsters for the drivers? Why aren't the workers getting in touch with these organizations? And I know there's an organizing problem with getting into the meeting, but I'm sure these organizations would be more than happy to talk with these people who have complaints and help them organize.
Well, let me go to Lena Selyuk on that in terms of unions and their involvement in all of this.
Well, unions have been trying to organize Amazon for many years, and they continue to be trying. There have been no successful unionization efforts quite yet. There have only been several votes taken by workers, and people might not know, but it takes kind of, it's a whole procedure to get approval for a vote and the union election, and there are rules around it, and that has been reached a couple of times. And so far, those couple of times in the past, and I'm talking in the history of Amazon in the U.S., both times that the election took place, workers voted against unionizing. There is a massive focus on Amazon among unions, and some of the unions that the caller just mentioned, and specifically one most high-profile unionization effort is, you could say, still continuing in Alabama. This is a warehouse in Bessemer, right outside Birmingham. And union vote there took place this spring. It was quite surprising. It came together very fast. It's a fairly new warehouse. It's extremely large. So it was a very, in the context of union votes, this was a really large vote. I think over 5,000 people voted, or could vote, excuse me. And about half of them did vote, and workers voted down unionizing, voted against unionizing at a rate of more than 2-1. Now we're in the situation where the union, which is Retail Wholesale Department Store Workers Union, I am butchering their formal name, it's RWDSU, and they have sort of appealed, or they've filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board, saying, accusing Amazon of unfair labor practices, essentially unfairly swaying workers in favor of not unionizing, against unionizing. And a officer, one of the officers of this Federal Labor Relations Board, has shared or published a report that suggested that indeed Amazon unfairly swayed the election. Its anti-union campaign, you know, had an impact of changing the results so much that this official recommended that the workers in Bessemer get to vote a second time. Amazon has rejected all these accusations and has appealed this recommendation and these findings. Now we are waiting, I think any day now, over the next few weeks, the overseeing regional director of this Federal Labor Board is going to issue her decision on whether this recommendation stands and whether the Bessemer workers get to vote a second time, try again, essentially, to vote on this unionization
yes.
push.
And if Bessemer does get a union, it would be the very first unionized warehouse in the U.S.
In America.
Yeah, in America. And I think Canada is trying to do an effort there too. They also do not have a unionized Amazon facility. Interestingly, Alina, your reporting also shared that people who are opposed to this, the California Retailers Association, for example, really felt like unions are trying to get this proprietary data, that they called it proprietary in terms of quotas and productivity information, in part to really boost their labor organizing efforts.
Yes, they pointed that out. This was sort of a suggestion made to me that the ultimate goal of this bill, which is supported by a number of unions, was to sort of progress the labor organizing efforts at Amazon. And I do think that one of the key potential impacts of this bill would be to create more of a procedure to get information to actually understand what the quotas look like, what the speed metrics are. Even in, you know, we've heard from some workers that experiences differ so much across warehouses that maybe this way workers in some warehouses get a better understanding of what workers at other warehouses are experiencing. Because these data are unavailable from Amazon or from most other companies, I think that could be a really big change.
We're talking with Alina Salyut, business correspondent, NPR. Ellen Reese is with us, a sociology professor and chair of labor studies at UC Riverside, and Shahryar Khosji, executive director at the Warehouse Workers Resource Center in Southern California. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and let me go to Robert, who writes, "It may not be quite right to make the blanket statement California is such a strong worker protection state. There are enormous powerful forces actively degrading hard-won protections with increasing success. For example, look at the ballot initiative overriding Sacramento legislation protecting so-called independent contractors." Thanks, Robert. I think you're probably responding to something that I said, and I did I did have that thought myself and added relatively to the end, but your comment is noted. And in addition, Curtis also writes about that legislation that you allude to. Curtis writes, "Like Uber and Lyft, Amazon's goal is to remove humans from its warehouses and distribution through automation and technology. Workers are an interim step toward that goal." Ellen Reese, I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on what you are seeing in terms of the use of algorithms and technology and how you see that changing the lives of warehouse or distribution workers or just workers broadly, considering the fact that it's something that can be applied so ubiquitously.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, my team of research assistants and I collected these interviews from warehouse workers, about 82 of them that were former and current Amazon warehouse workers. And across the board, they were really concerned with being monitored electronically. And it was very, very stressful, right, to be constantly monitored, not simply on whether you are making rate, you know, making a certain production goal, but also how much time you spent off task is also measured. And they can't spend more than, say, 6 minutes, right, off task, right? Which makes it very, very difficult for them to use a restroom sometimes, depending on where they're stationed in the warehouse. And you have to remember, some of these warehouse facilities are enormous, right? And so to walk from your workstation to the bathroom and back, right? If you do that, you sometimes get dinged for being taking time off task, right? And so that's a basic human need that we have, to go to the bathroom. But warehouse workers, much like delivery drivers, are reporting that they don't have that ability to use the bathroom when they need to. Some of them, you know, don't drink water when they probably should. They're getting dehydrated. They're waiting, you know, for the end of their shift or their work break to use the bathroom, or they're, you know, taking measures into their own hands. Sometimes they find trash cans or bottles or something like that, you know. So it's not a good situation at all. I mean, this is kind of shocking that this kind of conditions are happening in our state at this time.
Well, Emily writes, as a pharmacist working in retail, I cannot help but notice the parallels between us and Amazon workers. We too are held to an insurmountable amount of metrics and evaluated on them as we fill prescriptions, provide vaccinations, and counsel patients. All of this seems to be on the back burner compared to the metrics we are told to attain. I worry that patient safety is compromised, not to mention the well-being of staff. Articles describe this plight of pharmacy workers in early 2020, but it has long been forgotten. Jared in San Jose, let me see if I can squeeze you in. Jared, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to make a comment. I was going to make comments. I work on site at some of these warehouses, but I'm going to actually talk more about, I'm glad that you guys are bringing up the comments of algorithms in relation to on-site safety. I think that that's a huge, huge issue here because corporations are totally, you know, forming how long tasks take purely on numbers, and they're not considering on-site safety. I'm a field technician with building safety, and I see it constantly across the board, whether or not I'm working at a warehouse or not, people doing unsafe things to complete tasks in a timely manner. So, and we don't get bonuses for finishing anything, you know, quickly, but you know, there are, to not go into overtime or to go home at the 8-hour, limit of working. People do unsafe stuff every day just to get things done, and corporations are not paying close attention to how those people are getting those things done. They may be trained to do things properly, but they're not given the time to do it properly.
Sherry Yarkowski, we're hearing Jared talking about his experience and from a lot of listeners whose comments I can't get to in terms of just their questions about what can consumers do who are concerned about these conditions and improving conditions. What can they do? We just have 20 seconds.
I mean, obviously in the short term, you know, calling on Gavin Newsom, our governor, to stand with workers who stood with him a few days ago and, you know, sign this bill. It's not going to fix everything, but it's a step in the right direction. And then if you're a consumer, saying we want, I'm a consumer at Amazon or whatever workplace, I believe the workers who work moving these goods for me deserve good conditions. And I think there's petitions, there's organizing that's happening from the consumer side. But at the end of the day, Amazon is dependent on the consumers. If the consumers say this is what we want, they'll have to listen.
Sherry Yarkowski of the Warehouse Workers Resource Center, Alina Selyuk of NPR, and Ellen Reese of the University of California, Riverside. Thanks to all of you for joining us. And thanks to Blanca Torres for producing this segment. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.